from different places, we all have different names. No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness.
Hi, I'm Beth.
I'm Tim.
I'm Jessica. And we're just your everyday
Methodist to the madness.
Hey guys, how are we doing today?
I'm talking
like a robot.
Because it's Robot Monday.
Yeah, it's Robot. See, this is Robot Monday. We had Bright Sunday and Robot Monday.
Yeah.
Can't wait for Tell Me Something Tuesday.
And what's up Wednesday?
Yeah, and
thank goodness it's Thursday, because
and
but then we have two thank goodness it's Thursday and thank goodness it's Friday.
Well, that's for the people whose weekend starts on Friday, so they have Thursday as their Friday and then they have Friday off the next day. So
right. Yes,
How have you guys been, Beth? How's this past week been for you?
Let's see. I survived Easter, so that was good. I'm trying to think of things. I can't think of things that have happened. What I don't recommend is taking a nap right before the podcast and then trying to podcast. I thought I could do it, but it turns out I can't. But I did spend, I crocheted a squirrel for the SpongeBob musical.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. There's going to be a scene. I don't know if this is a spoiler or not. I haven't watched it.
You can spoil. Oh, wait, maybe I shouldn't say that you could spoil.
I don't even think it's a real spoiler, but there's like a part in the play where Sandy and SpongeBob like walk over a mountain or something, and so there's gonna be like a little crocheted squirrel Sandy and a little sponge on sticks walking over a mountain. So
that sounds incredible.
That's what I did with my time yesterday, and then today I went into the office and I spent some time in the office getting goodie bags ready for the women's retreat that's coming up.
Ooh.
And today I realized that I'm going to Chicago next week, and I haven't physically prepared for that. I haven't started packing. I'm not going to start packing until like an hour before my flight leaves. But I have.
While you're in the Uber.
Yeah. You actually brought everything into the Uber. Oh, here.
Bunch of clothes in my arms and a suitcase that I'm furiously trying to pack stuff into while I'm in the Uber. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like a scene from a movie or something. Like, you get in the Uber, you have all this stuff, and then like you just suddenly had everything packed when you got to the airport.
It sounds like something Kramer would do for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I think about weird stuff like that, or I'll do something weird something will happen to me that can only happen to me. And I'm like, this would be really hilarious in a movie. And I say that as I'm annoyed at my life because it's ruining my life at that time. But I'm okay with things happening to me as long as they're funny later. So
yeah, I like that
philosophy. But yeah, so I'm neither physically nor mentally ready for Chicago, and I probably won't be until like I get there, because that's how I operate. But other than that, I can't think of anything else worth mentioning.
Hey, that's pretty good for right after a nap, because I was contemplating like doing the right after a nap at some point, and now I know that my mileage may vary, as you could say, but I'll be totally comfortable saying, oh, I just woke up from a nap too. And then it'll be like really cool. Like, oh, what's Tim saying after his nap?
Yeah. Well, at least I'm not grumpy. I don't take naps a lot because I find they, like, when I'm grumpy and tired, I'll be like, I need a nap. And then I wake up and I'll sleep a couple hours. And I find that I'm even more grumpy and more tired. after my nap is over.
Right.
Oh, I just remembered a fun thing that Miriam and I did at lunch today. It was a beautiful day out, and we went to see what we could of the eclipse and took some pictures of crescent-shaped shadows. And since it was so nice out, we decided that we were going to walk from the church office to El Torreo West and have lunch there. And so we did walk to El Torreo West, and we did have lunch, but it was not there because they're not open on Mondays.
So what?
Across the street to the Sizzler.
No way.
Yeah. So
you L took yourself somewhere else.
We did. Yeah, we did.
Hey, so
what's up with you guys?
I wanted to say that I always pronounced it El Torreo. Clearly, I was mispronouncing it, so I'm gonna.
I just pronounce it the way it's said to me first. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I guess segueing off of the eclipse, I happened to see the eclipse, but not in the right way. Someone told me to go down there, and I'm like, okay, let's go see the eclipse. And I didn't have any glasses on. And that was not a good idea. So luckily I did not. I don't think I permanently damaged my eyes, but I did indirectly look at the sun. And so I've had like hours of eye strain. And I actually read online that if you're having pain, but no other visual problems, then that's a good sign. And it likely I'll be able to recover from it. If you have problems suddenly, then you might have something serious going on. So this is kind of like a good thing for one thing. To remind everyone reminding myself especially to never look at the sun without the glasses on, if you're going to look at the eclipse. But secondly, this is something I hadn't talked about on the podcast yet. When I'm working and whenever I have eye strain in general, like just everyday normal kind of my eyes are bothering me kind of eye strain, then I put blue light blocking glasses on, and it basically completely takes away my eye strain. And the same thing with phones and computers. They have this thing called the night light typically, and that also helps with eye strain. So I've been doing that all day. I've had my eye strain glasses on, the blue light blocking glasses on, and I've had the night light on. So a double whammy, blocking the blue light. And my eyes are feeling quite a bit better now. I think they started really feeling better once we started recording the podcast episode. I don't know how, but these episodes just have healing capabilities or something for me, because I always feel better every time we start recording and everything. So I think I'll be okay. I think after a good night's rest and just wear the blue light blocking glasses for as long as I need to, I think I'll be fine. But yeah, that totally threw my day off, as you could probably imagine. Let's see what else. I'm back on track with trying to meditate again. And I guess it's with new insight. That is something I picked up from a YouTube video. Basically, I guess there are two types of meditation. There's focused meditation, and then there's mindful meditation, where the focused meditation is kind of focusing more on your breath and just kind of trying to enhance your attention, which probably would be helpful for ADHD and so forth. But the mindful meditation is sort of basically kind of just being present in a certain moment. So that kind of reminds me of how I've been talking about being bored. And I saw this other video that mentioned how if you allow yourself to be bored, you could actually reduce your dopamine baseline to where less interesting activities could suddenly become more interesting. And so that can actually make it a little easier to do stuff clean or do work or read a book. I'm trying to read more books and stuff. So I think I could definitely leverage boredom or mindful meditation to get myself to do that. And I'm trying to be mindful of my my screen time that's not purposeful. So in other words, just sitting on my computer and like looking at my email and like looking at random YouTube videos. And I found out from a friend recently that there's this term that I really wasn't completely aware of called doom scrolling.
I guess that's something
if you're on a website and you're just scrolling for a really long time or whatever, then you're doom scrolling. Yeah. So I'm trying not to doom scroll anymore. It's a waste of time. Doesn't really help me. Outside of that, I wanted to share some funny thing. It's not really a joke. It's just something that I came to suddenly through having a conversation with my mom. So I was making scrambled eggs, and we just started talking about that, just kind of freely, whatever, just joking about it. And she's like, "Oh yeah, you could have hard boiled eggs, and they could end up green." And I'm like, "Yeah, wait, I didn't know that that would actually like happen." So then I was thinking, oh, so maybe that's where green eggs and ham comes from. You can end up with hard-boiled eggs that are green, and then you have green eggs, and then you put the ham, and then you have green eggs and ham in real life. So that's like really neat. And so now I actually figured out why Dr. Seuss had a book called Green Eggs and Ham, because you can have that in real life.
Solved all of the world's problems.
You could actually mitigate green eggs apparently by putting your hard-boiled eggs in cold water, like immediately after you boil them.
Like an ice bath. Yeah. I've done that.
Yeah. And my mom was telling me if you use apple cider vinegar, she's been able to get rid of the green that way too. So.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
That's the reason why she brought it up in the first place, I think, because she wanted to tell me about something that you could use apple cider vinegar for. And so now I just solved everything when it comes to eggs. Now I understand where green eggs come from.
Nice.
Thanks for sharing, Tim. Jessica.
Yeah, Jessica, what do you have? Apple
cider vinegar for?
You didn't stare at the sun, right?
I usually use apple cider vinegar for either the chickens, because it's good for chickens to mix it with their water.
Oh, that's neat.
So that's what I use apple cider vinegar for, and that is close to about it.
I used it in a deviled egg recipe the other day. Please continue. That's all.
Ooh.
Eggs.
This podcast is sponsored by eggs.
By
chickens. Anything that uses apple cider vinegar and apple cider vinegar.
Yes.
We don't have real sponsors. We just make them up.
So this past week has been really weird. Not weird on Saturday. Saturday, I golfed a full 18 holes. I only lost two balls, which is great, because my partner who was playing with me, who was part of PGA Hope, she lost like six, and she had bright pink golf balls.
Oh no.
And we still could not find them. It was the weirdest thing.
What?
I did really bad, but so did everybody else, and it was so much fun. And I can't wait to go back out on the course or a course at some point. Because it was a lot of fun to golf. So my PGA Hope experiences has concluded, and they gave us a t-shirt and a hat. And an ID card that says I'm a graduate of PGA Hope, which I'm going to try to use that everywhere I go.
Do you have a PGA graduate discount?
Yes. Well, yes.
No, what about military? Yes.
Yes. and then yesterday we went to church, came home, put more insulation in my new tough shed. And then we got to the point where I was very scared of heights because it's like 12 feet up in the air. And so I thought maybe on a day where I'm a little bit more brave. And so we stopped and then we drove to an event that I was invited to from one of my colleagues at work, and it was to help contribute more, like contribute my body physically there, not in a monetary way, because I'll tell you in a second. Okay. It was for Project Angel Food, which is a really incredible nonprofit that provides meals to people throughout LA County. In the past year, in 2023, it was reported that they provided 1.5 million meals to people in Los Angeles County, which is incredible.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so we were there on behalf of my work, the LA Film School, and to kind of network and also be part of the cause and help celebrate what they've been able to do, but also help to fundraise. And so Amber and I went, and we Googled the location, and it was at a mansion in Beverly Hills. And so to Beverly Hills, they had valet, and I'm thinking, man, I think we're going to park my 2011 Scion TC up the street a little bit, because these parties are a little too nice. And so we got there. I met my colleagues there. Some of our graduates were helping with the production side, getting drone footage from over top the back area of the home. The house was beautiful. It was incredible. If anybody knows the Abbey in West Hollywood, it was the owner of the Abbey. It was his house that we were at. And within 30 minutes, I think they raised over $300,000.
Whoa.
Like some of the bidding started at like $50,000. And Amber and I looked at each other like, where are we?
Yeah, really? Like.
And Amber was like talking to a lady that was kind of sitting next to us while the auctioneer was, you know, talking with everybody. And she ended up getting the lady that Amber was talking to got up and kind of walked away. And then all of a sudden the auctioneer or the CEO of Project Angel Food gave her a special shout out, because she was one of the major donors to their new building that they're going to be creating. It's a $51.2 million project. Well, this lady had donated over $10 million to that building. So the building is going to be named after her family. So
wow,
we were like, where are we? Like totally. We were there for like the awesome snacks. It was great. They had these really cute little pecan pie squares, because they have all these fancy things. But anyways, it's really interesting, the things that my job, where it takes me. And it's we realize we prefer where we're at, which is in the middle of nowhere,
and we don't really need, that's really good. Yeah,
like, we don't really need mansion fancy, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, we don't really need fancy things, but it was fun to just kind of experience something completely different than what we're used to.
Yeah, it sounds like residential Vegas or something.
It was really interesting. And there was a girl there who sang. Her name was M. Byhold or something. I don't remember what. Anyways, she's an upcoming TikTok star / singer, and so we met her, but. Anyways, I'm thinking it's for a younger generation that might know her, and I officially felt very old.
Oh yeah.
Anyways, so that was my past week, besides getting my tough shed.
Wow. That sounds pretty remarkable, Jessica. I mean, you could have just said, I went to a mansion today and saw like people like auctioning over $50,000 for minimum bids. You could have just said that, and we would have just had like our mouths completely open or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing that people were willing to donate, and they were so open to utilize their, you know, they have a lot of money, and they were willing to you know, use their blessings to bless others. And
that's so nice.
It's really nice to be able to see that and the impact that, you know, it obviously has. And then their gift for going as you left the location was a box of cookies, which was like the greatest thing in the world.
That's awesome.
They must have been the greatest cookies in the world.
You know, they kind of were. But anyways, speaking of the greatest in the world, there's a lot happening at PUMC coming up. And specifically, as I mentioned last week, April 13th is a date you don't want to forget, because not only is it men's group, 9 a.m. in the fireside, and is United Methodist Men, but they have UMM on there. So I'm going to say So 9 a.m. in the fireside room. Also on April 13th, the in-betweeners from 4:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. meet at Glenn and Allison Graham's home. If you need the address, contact the church. Otherwise, it is in the bulletin. Also, quilters will be meeting 9 a.m. to 12 in the social hall on April 13th. And Justin, Amber said she wanted to go.
Yes. So,
all right.
Got her.
I think she spoke with you, Beth, about wanting
to go. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I got to be ready with my crocheting skills.
Well, Tim, I have something else in mind for you.
What?
Well, you can still continue to learn with the crochet, but I'm going to bring my knitting looms next time, because those are a bit easier, because the yarn kind of stays in one space. You'll know what I'm talking about when you come on Saturday.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, because you know my main problem was the yarn was not staying on my crochet instrument.
Yeah, it'll be a fun time.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah.
April 13th, 9 a.m. to 12 in the social hall. And then on April 14th, the youth group Ignite is going to be meeting that evening. So be sure to check it out. Youth group will also be taking place on the 21st, that Sunday. And then April 24th, Kids Club with Beth at 5:30 before Food for Thought in the social hall. So please be mindful of that. As we bring another update, which is occurring at the end of April, I wanted to go ahead and transition into Beth's ministry moment, because I don't think it would be right for me to share what's going on at the end of this month. I think it would be better for the Beth's ministry moment to expand on that.
Yes. Okay. Drum roll.
Well, today we have a very special guest who I actually met at the women's retreat for the first time, and that's when we kind of became friends. And today we have Angie Doyle, who has been attending our church for some time, but not physically, not right now. Angie, welcome.
Yay. Thank you for joining us, Angie.
Hi, everybody. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yeah.
Awesome. So that's the intro, Beth.
That's the intro.
that's all we've got for the budget at this time.
Audience, imagine many balloons have fallen from the ceiling.
Angie, all of our sponsors are made up, so we don't get any money. They're imaginary. Yes.
It's wonderful to be here with you guys. Beth asked me to come on and kind of put a little plug in for the women's retreat that's happening April 26th through the 28th. Actually, the deadline for putting in registration is April 12th, and that is this Friday. This is the first time we're meeting since COVID, guys. Mm-hmm. So it's a really big deal.
Wow.
We had it planned back in, 2020? Yep. And we had to cancel. So I'm really excited because I get to be the leader and speak. And I was supposed to be the leader in 2020. And so it's kind of nice to be able to get back and see everybody. And we're excited. We're up in Wrightwood. It's going to hopefully be a beautiful weekend. And so we're just really wanting to encourage anybody to put in their registration and just come on up and really have some quality time with these lovely women and have a little bit of fellowship. The theme is simply joyful. That's what we're going to be focused on, is just how to be simply joyful no matter what life is thrown our way.
And spoilers, there might be a couple guest speakers too. And
We will have some testimonies during the weekend. And one of them may or may not be Beth. We're not, we don't want to spoil it.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. But as far as numbers, Angie and I were in contact with Lori Shaw, and she said that we have 33 coming so far. There's 23 coming for the weekend and 10 coming for the day. So I feel like that's
all right.
Yeah, that's a great turnout.
Yeah. So I'm really excited. And
now, Beth, for the people that are going to be coming on the day, when would they arrive and when would they leave?
We'll have all that information sent out, I think, before the retreat. I don't have the information. Angie, do you?
Oh, okay.
So breakfast is served at 8:00. So that's probably a great time to show up if you want to get some good grub.
Grub.
But if they will not have breakfast on Friday if you're coming for the whole weekend.
No. The Friday arrival is about 4:00 and we'll have dinner and then we start session.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And we start session after dinner. Saturday breakfast is at 8:00. And so people will arrive. But I think that we're planning on sending out a little email to everybody that registers, giving them some of those details.
Yep. You know, what to pack, when to go places. And and I'm really excited about the welcome bags that I can't remember if I talked about in my update, but I put some of those together today. Did I say that?
Oh, that's neat.
Versace and
Coach.
Gucci.
They're going to be just like that fundraiser Gucci that Jessica went to, right? Bags, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
In fact, that's where that money went that they donated.
The most amazing cookies are in those bags.
Yeah. Right. All right. Well, thank you, Angie,
Angie.
Yeah, thank you, Angie.
Well, thank you guys for having me, and I hope to see I hope people continue to register. Come up for the day, come up for the whole weekend.
Yeah.
All right, wonderful.
Also, we're still looking for magazines if anyone wants to bring some magazines.
We have a little project to do over the weekend. So any magazines can be dropped off at the church. Beth and Lori are collecting them.
Cool.
All right. So, very nice.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. And I look forward to seeing you soon.
Yes. It was nice to meet you, Tim. Nice to meet you, Jessica.
Yeah, it was nice meeting you, Angie.
All right. Beth, I think this next week is going to be pretty exciting as the deadline approaches for April 12th. And then, and only a few weeks after that, you'll be giving out Versace and Louis Vuitton slippers.
Yeah.
What? Slippers?
Louis Vuitton.
And that's the bell.
What kind of bell was that? Was that for dinner?
I don't know.
You are the third caller.
Oh, yes. That is the bell. Indeed.
How podcasts work.
Now I feel like we're on a game show or something.
Life is a game show, Tim.
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm excited for everybody that's going to be heading out to the women's retreat. It sounds like it's going to be an incredible time with Angie leading the way. She's been leading the way since 2020. And now it's finally her moment to lead in person. at Wrightwood.
It's time to shine now.
That's super nice.
Time to shine. And Beth's put together some pretty awesome bags for all the women, so that's very exciting. So
yeah.
Going to be a good team.
Well, this past Sunday was Bright Sunday. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty sure it was about as bright as Tim looking up at the sun during the solar eclipse.
I guess if there was any time for me to do something like that, it would be right after Bright Sunday. You know,
just... absolutely.
So Tim shared a funny story about the eggs, and I encouraged Tim and Jessica to think of a funny story or a joke that they'd like to share. And Jessica, did you have any funny jokes you'd like to share?
I mean, my life.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh so hard.
I mean, I'll let you go first and I'll continue to think. I have something in mind, but why don't you go ahead and share first, Beth?
Okay, I have a couple things.
All right, perfect.
The first one that it was something I saw on Facebook that made me laugh, and I shared it. And then Pastor John also sent it to me on Instagram, not knowing that I had shared it on Facebook. So Jessica, maybe you've already seen it, but it was like a meme that I saw, and it was a conversation between Judas and Soldier. And Judas says, "The one I kiss is Jesus Christ." And then the soldier says, "You can just point to him." And then Judas says, "While putting on lip balm." I don't tell you how to do your job. And secondly, I'm going to share my favorite joke ever. Okay.
Yes.
Actually, I have more than one favorite jokes ever.
Oh, wow.
So I'll share my first one. A grasshopper walks into a bar and orders a beer, and the bartender says, "Hey, we have a drink named after you." And the grasshopper says, "You have a drink named Kevin?" That's my first favorite joke, because there's a drink called grasshopper and it's a chocolate drink. Anyway, and then my second one is also a man walks into a bar one. So man walks into a bar. No, I'm sorry. Not a man, a bear. A bear walks into a bar and says, "I'll have a beer." And the bartender says, "What's with the big paws?" And then the bear holds up his hands and says, "Always had them."
Wait. Oh. What? That is a really good one. It took me a second to figure out what.
And the second I started telling the joke, I was like, "Oh no, this is a visual joke."
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
There was a meme that I sent Pastor Jim and John the other day, and I'm sure you guys might have seen it, but it was so funny to me because the perspective of it is just so silly, because you don't think of Jesus this way. But Mary is sitting on the side of the bathtub, and baby Jesus is in the bath, and Mary goes in. Because baby Jesus is standing on the water. Because he doesn't want to go in. He walks on water. Oh, man, it was so good.
I feel like dogs and cats. I feel like dogs and cats wish they had that ability. The ones who don't like to have baths.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just standing under the water.
It was so funny. I'm trying to think of other jokes. I mean, I don't know, guys. I have really random things that happen in my life, but I can't think of anything on the spot necessarily.
Well, if you don't have any jokes to tell, did you want to talk about some jokes or perhaps Pastor John's Bright Sunday sermon?
Yeah, I think this past Sunday, you know, traditionally Bright Sunday is full of silliness. Bringing in the joy. And there was a quote that Pastor John shared.
I bet it's the same one I took a picture of.
Is it by Sir John Wesley?
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow. We were all thinking of the same quote.
Sour godliness is the devil's religion. I suspect that sour godliness originated among unhappy, semi-religious people who had just enough religion to make them miserable, but not enough to do them any good.
Yeah.
One I took a picture of
that. I really just get so much out of that because I think that a person's faith should bring them to love others and just have joy in life. I think it just makes sense, especially considering what all Jesus has done for us. I mean, I think it's really powerful to be happy and really nice and how could you, I don't know. I think that's wonderful. I think that's a great way to think.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I think that people's intentions as Christians, when they want to admonish their brothers and sisters in Christ, I think their intentions might be pure, but maybe they don't realize what they're doing is very sour.
Right.
You know, like some people, they're like, warheads?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
when they talk, they think that they're at the end of the warhead, but they're actually at the very beginning when it's like really not fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Do you remember it's like sour gum, like the crybaby sour gum?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No, lemon heads?
No.
Oh, no, no.
It's different than lemon heads. It's a little more sour than lemon heads.
Hey, don't like you mean lemon shark?
Okay, so watching the sermon, I felt a little bad for Pastor John because he was trying with all the jokes and some of them just didn't land and nobody was laughing. And I was just like, if I was there, I would probably be laughing.
Yeah. It was. We looked at each other quite a bit. Like,
Speaking of that, though, I wanted to give a shout out to two jokes that I thought were really funny. The first is the sour cream and onion soda.
Ew.
You didn't like the hot dog?
Oh,
the hot dog one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I didn't like the hot dog one as much. I guess because I used to eat sour cream and onion chips a lot.
Yeah. But if you're thirsty, but don't want to eat a meal, you could have the hot dog and sour cream and onions together.
And mix it up.
And you're also quenching your thirst because they're drinks.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the future, people. It sounds disgusting. It sounds great.
Hey, to take it a step further, you could make it homemade. You could put it in your blender or juicer or something and have carbonated or seltzer water.
Trying to juice a hot dog. Are you kidding? The machine would just like stop and be like, no thanks.
You just use the hot dog juice. You're just like milking the hot dog like you would. And the hot dog just, you know, comes apart.
Yeah. Literally.
So hot dogs aside, the other thing was the banana sleeping bag.
Oh, yeah.
I think that is so cool. I would love to have one of those.
Yeah.
Beth said she was making one.
Really?
No, I didn't. Yes, I did. I was telling Pastor John yesterday that we at Marshall's one day, I saw a banana dog bed and it was just like, it looked really similar to the sleeping bag and it was just the cutest thing when any dog would get in there and, you know, snuggle up in there. And
wow,
we had to throw it away because my dogs are really rude and have chewed up every dog bed that they've ever gotten because they are ungrateful little jerks who I love so much. But you know, no dog bed.
They chewed up the dog bed.
It lasted a long time. So I thought maybe they were just done with that. They were just out of the chewing up dog beds phase, but no, they, turns out they were.
So. Hey, that's a lot better than my dogs. For some reason, certain dolls, like it could be like a cat doll or like a monkey doll or something like that. For some reason, one of my dogs, maybe it's both of them, I don't know, they decide to eat the eyes out.
My so dogs have done that before. I remember they did it with one of Owen's baby toys. It was like this stuffed elephant, but it was also a rattle. And I don't know, it had the stuffing and everything, but it was ring shaped and you know, it rattled when you would shake it. And I found that on the floor one time with just the eyeballs chewed out. And I remember taking a picture and posting it on Facebook and something like, this is the stuff of nightmares.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Just all dogs. The dolls.
So when I was watching the sermon, second thing, Pastor John, I stopped by his office today when I was working, and Pastor John said that, like, in the sermon, he like did a nod to me and he was like, you'll know it when you see it. And then I was like, okay, so I'm watching. I'm like, lemon shark. Just kidding. For anyone who saw the, sermon, he posted, or he had a lot of slides of cartoon sharks that were yellow like lemons and shaped like lemons, and then he finally got to the real picture of what it really looked like anyway. And then he talked about a lot of animals playing dead in the wild, and the last one I think he talked about was playing possum, and mm-hmm. There was a possum lying on the floor with a glass of wine and other possums around it. And they said, oh, he's not dead. He's just an introvert and is ready to go home or something like that. I don't remember what it said, but
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I was like, well, is that it? Cause I talk about being an introvert a lot. And then the next thing he said something about, I'm not talking about who is, or you're not going to see them be the next guest on Impractical Jokers anytime soon. And I was like, oh, that was the one. So sorry, I butchered everything that you said, Pastor John, but I did catch the nod. So thank you. And when I was watching the sermon today, I had, just taking a nap, and I was like, I gotta wake up and watch the sermon so we can talk about it. And I usually watch it on the big TV, but I couldn't be bothered today, so I watched it on my phone while lying down on the couch still. And instead of taking notes, I just took screenshots of things that I thought were relevant.
Wow, that's an interesting way.
And to go about it. One of the things that amused me was he said, the fastest land mammal is a toddler who's been asked what's in their mouth.
That's so
I've experienced that too, but I've also seen that same meme, but it says the fastest land mammal is a dog who's been asked what's in their mouth, because dogs and toddlers are very similar.
Yeah. I know, when he said that, I was thinking of my dogs for sure.
And then the last thing, he shared a quote that said, I go to sleep by counting sheep. I preach to sheep I put to sleep. And that made me laugh, especially because one of my family members was asleep the whole time for Easter. It was Owen. I'm not going to pretend that it was me. No, it was Owen. But anyway, that made me laugh. But also, Pastor John said no shade to people who may fall asleep during their sermons.
Yeah. I like that. Yes.
Or whatever he said.
Yeah, that was
that's
good.
All I have for my screenshot notes.
I have one last thing I wanted to say, and I, for the more serious notes that Pastor John was saying, I think the first one was, I don't know if he exactly said it this way, but the way with words that I got from what he was talking about was like, he shared a testimony from one of the books, basically someone had been in a coma and so forth, just so much like disaster. And he still found time to like laugh and smile. And so I was thinking about my own life. Like, I think that's really like a powerful thing. If despite like circumstances being awry or in the midst of obstacles, we can still smile and laugh, then I think that's just really incredible and really helpful for our lives. And it helps everyone else around us too. And then the other thing was, I think Pastor John's last note on the sense of community and how you have wholeness only if everyone is whole. And I think that's really true. When we have somebody that's missing or somebody that's going through trouble and stuff like that, we want to the community benefits more when everybody is feeling good and happy, but ultimately just themselves. Or so I guess the better way to understand it, it's like suddenly someone is no longer present and we notice. It kind of reminds me of the parable that Jesus brought up with sheep, and how if you lose one of your sheep, the shepherd will spend so much time looking for that one lost sheep. And then once it's back to the flock, it's like everything is whole again. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully that made sense. I think I started losing my ability to figure out what the conclusion there was. But
words. I think it made sense. Yeah. To
word problems. Thank you. Thank you, Beth.
That's math.
Just yeah.
Jessica, do you have any other stuff?
No, I mean, that was really kind of what I got out of it was, you know, kind of everything that both of you have also shared was just finding joy in the things that would normally bring us a bunch of sorrow or, you know, I think for Amber and I, we try to find joy in the time when we, like when our pregnancy stuff has not been successful, we try to find ways to like look on the bright side of things and find joy.
Yeah.
And we'll get another month for us to be able to connect with just her and I and not have to worry about me being potentially pregnant. Like I can still, like there's a bunch of other things I could do with my body in terms of like lifting really heavy things. And so that's kind of like where I kind of look at and think and I think, well, maybe we're not supposed to have a kid yet, because when we do have our kid, they need to be a January baby, because maybe their best friend will also have a January baby and that's how they're going to become even more best friends. Like, I think of weird stuff like that. And you know, and we're not going to know the reason for things in quite some time, but it could take 5-10 years for us to know, it could also be shortly after. So, but just in general, finding joy in all things
is
definitely better for your heart in terms of stress levels.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I've been thinking about joy a lot, lady. I've been thinking about joy a lot, lady.
Oh, wow.
I love it.
Because at the women's retreat, I'm going to be talking about how gratitude can turn into joy. And I kind of, you'll hear more about this at the women's retreat. You won't, Tim. So Jessica, cover your ears. I'm only going to talk to Tim about this. Just, Tim, don't cover your ears.
Should I take the headphones off?
You can, no, you can no, share, this Beth. Is
for your ears because no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, I decided that I like to think of gratitude as saving up joy for later. And
that's neat.
Because during the pandemic, like when everything shut down, I just like was having a really hard time. I think I was the only one. No, I'm just kidding. But but I remember the thing that helped me. One of the things that helped me the most was finding things to laugh at. And so I spent a lot of time like watching shows that made me laugh, stand-up comedy, listening to podcasts that made me laugh, because I didn't need any more like sadness or heaviness to cloud me. And that's one of the things I lean on a lot. I would say one of my, if not my very favorite thing, is laughing and making other people laugh.
So, wow. I love that you shared that, Beth. That's really inspirational. I honestly, admittedly, don't like seek out enough things to make me laugh on a day-to-day basis. I think when I like am with people, I have a tendency to want to laugh with them. But I think by myself, like my own solitary time, I don't really spend a lot of time laughing. So I think that's really amazing that you prioritize like laughing and having joy in those moments every day, because I could definitely use that.
Yeah. My motto is, if I don't laugh, I'll cry. Sometimes it's, but I have this really weird thing where like I seriously can be in the middle of a meltdown or a breakdown, but I still manage to throw little jokes in there to amuse myself. I'm like, I'm so mad, Craig, blah, 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 little joke, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Well, I think it's like, you know, when you're able to find something that, you know, you mentioned, Beth, that you like to watch like TV shows or something like that to find that joy. I think it's also the community sense, like you find community and like other people are laughing with you kind of.
Yeah.
Thing. And like I can absolutely relate in terms of, you know, I don't think I've ever shared this before, but I feel very, I mean, my life isn't like this anymore, but after I have gotten out of the military, I was experiencing a lot of identity, you know, kind of crisis, because I was wanting to, you know, be in the military for over 20 years, and I ended up getting med boarded out, and my entire identity was around being really strong, and I had almost maxed out my PT tests, which is like my physical tests, and I mean, I was doing like 80 sit-ups in 2 minutes. I did over 50 push-ups in 2 minutes. Like I was doing really well. I was doing more than a lot of the men. And then when I got injured, it was like all of that was taken away, and I needed community. And I was in South Korea at the time. And it was like, I didn't have a lot of that. And then I got med boarded to Kansas, which was like Fort Riley, Kansas. There's not much to do there. And then I ended up getting med boarded out of the military, which kind of made me feel like I was back at square one, and I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. And it was at that point where I started to get very like suicidal, and I didn't want to be around anymore because of that. And the one thing that saved me was Grey's Anatomy, because there was a community of people and there was laughter and there was storytelling. And it made me realize that I needed to be around people, because I saw that.
Yeah.
And it's so funny to think back, and I'm like, man, Grey's Anatomy like saved my life. But it really just forced me to get around people and laugh with people, because life is way too short. And I just can't even imagine like all of the, my whole life has just completely changed since then. And that was like 2012.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Jessica.
On the subject of Grey's Anatomy, my very favorite doctor on the show is Dr. Owen Hunt. And he's a veteran.
Is that your son?
No, I mean, my son's name is Owen, but I actually started watching Grey's Anatomy after I had a child. So I didn't name Owen after my favorite. And also, I fizzled out watching like a few seasons ago. So I don't know what's happening with them. He could really suck now for all I know. I'm not sure.
It's changed so much. Like the early days on with like George and Izzy and all them.
Yeah.
That was like prime. Yes, Christina.
Yep. Love Christina too.
Oh my gosh, that was like my favorite. And yeah. So I love Sandro. So yeah, it's amazing what storytelling can do.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Absolutely.
The camaraderie, but also the joy it can bring to people. So that's why I love television so much. And people think don't get lost in TV and movies, but it's like that's what saved me. And that's why
I'm
part of the Television Academy now. And I'm like, this is so fun.
Growing up, my mom and I would like watch TV together. We really liked Friends, and you know, that was how we would bond and spend time together. And that's also what that's how I bond. And one of the ways I bond and spend time with my kids too. But it always, like, TV always had such a bad stigma. Like, TV is going to rot your brain.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And so it wasn't until I met one of my friends who I'm still really good friends with, Josh, who was also, like, really into TV, where I realized, hey, it's okay to, like, be into television shows and, like, find those things that make you happy. And it didn't make me feel as weird about it, I guess.
Yeah,
that's super neat. And yeah, there's just so many people that are into so many shows, and I'm constantly reminded of like how many shows I have not watched yet, but I find that I still can bond with people like talking about like shows that they recommend to me, because they just get so enthusiastic about the show and describing like why they like it and stuff like that. And so I think that's really neat. And so like beyond just like watching shows with people, but just talking about the shows and then having that social aspect, like it kind of reminds me like people getting together for like parties, like Twilight parties or something like that to watch the Twilight movies because everybody was super into the books. And I do the same thing. Like my mom and I actually watch TV and movies together all the time. And that's like one of our main like bonding things that we do. The other thing I wanted to mention is kind of like what Jessica was saying about community. I think for me, discovering Palmdale United Methodist Church really changed my life for the better. Like I feel so much happier in my life and so much more emotionally emotionally stable than I was before I found the church. It's just been like such an incredible like thing, like having the sense of community here. And like, I just feel so connected with everyone and have like a really good relationship with God now, instead of feeling like I couldn't relate to God at all. So yeah, I just, I mean, I'm still a work in progress. I guess we all are in some way, but I'm just so much better than I was. So yeah, community is everything.
Yeah, Beth's good. Beth doesn't need any of that anymore. She's like ready to go.
I'm in community. I'm a community of one. I'm just
she is the world.
Well, I think we did a pretty good job of summing up why laughter is important.
So. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. This was super nice. I'm really glad we talked about all of this. Yeah.
And I hope that when people listen to this podcast, they can find how funny our sarcasm and just our lives in general, if it brings you joy and laughter, we hope it continues. We hope we can continue to do that because life is so short and we just want to have a little fun while we're at it. So,
yeah.
Go ahead, Tim.
Oh, I was going to say, if any of you want to email us about more banana or egg jokes or something like that, then we would appreciate it.
Yeah, anything that brings you joy.
I like to say that. I like to say that silliness is my love language because I really do think it is.
That is so cool. I love that.
That's the seventh love language.
Yep.
Or wait, the sixth there because there's five love languages.
I don't know.
What?
I was like, that sounds good. There's different. There's actually like I don't know how they came about. Maybe somebody wrote a book. But what are the five love languages? There's touch, acts of service,
words of affirmation, affirmative action.
There's only three. Oh, gifts. Gifts is one, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. So my love language is send me a silly meme.
And, oh, that's neat.
Yeah. Like, that's all I want.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Jessica, you're really good at that, sending me stuff that's silly. And and now that I'm trying to not be an old person anymore and get onto Instagram, I hope to return the favor.
Yeah. I love it.
So anyway, what are we barking at?
What are we, speaking of barking, I want to know, Tim, are there any prayer requests that you have?
Seriously, but also not so seriously, regarding my looking at the sun, to not a prayer for me not to do that again, but more seriously, that I don't have any sort of ailments from it in the coming days. I think I'll be okay considering how I feel now, but so that I recover smoothly and quickly. And then the other thing is a prayer for me to kind of just go with my intentions to try to meditate more or just kind of be in my own headspace, so to speak, and not doom scroll as much and actually read more books because I do want to do that. And just continue on that sort of path, I suppose. Ooh. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Any prayer requests that you want to bark this way?
Bark this way. Yes. I was right now in my house. It's that scene in the Jurassic World movie where Chris, what's his name? Pratt. It's like there's three like raptors or whatever surrounding him and he's trying to like take them. That's what's happening right now in real time with my dogs, but it's gonna be okay. One of them doesn't even have teeth, so just prayers for I think Miriam could use some prayers. I won't go into a lot of detail, but because she kind of likes to keep her life private, but her husband has been having to travel a lot for work. And he's been in like England for a long time. And they keep saying he's going to come home at this time. And then they're like, nope, we need him another week. And so this has been for the past few months for her. And she is in the process of getting like an emergency passport or an expedited whatever, so she's doing that this week so she can go out to see him next week, and that's really just stressing her out a lot. So
oh yeah,
we'll be praying for her.
Yeah absolutely. Beth,
Jessica,
what do I have? I would like to pray for, if anybody knows Aaron and Liddy, they're in our young adult life group. Okay. Aaron works in the field of tools, including a saw, which went on his finger.
No.
And So he was supposed to have surgery today. It's Monday, and I'm going to check in with him after this podcast ends, but they were trying to reattach the ligaments because, if they're not able to, then he's considering just chopping his finger off, which is like crazy to think about. So
wow.
Prayers for Aaron on
what
ends up happening.
Absolutely.
Liddy too. She's probably
devastated.
Yeah. And Bob is like grossed out by
his love Bob so much. Sorry. No, this is not the time to love Bob, but Bob is their infant son.
Yeah. Bob's birthday was last Friday. So that was exciting.
And how old is he now? Two?
Two. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. He's so cute. I love him.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
Other than that, I guess just prayers for Amber and I for safe travels to the OC this week. Oranges and cucumbers. And other than that, I'm excited. I get to sing with Abby this next Sunday for the 11 a.m. worship. So I'll be worship practice on Thursday night. So I'm really looking forward to that. So
maybe Tim and I will see you in passing.
Maybe so.
Yes, you might.
Oh, that's too good.
All right, well,
it's been a pretty bright podcast. So
Tim's
gonna go put his nightlight on.
We hope that my nightlight for sure with less light. What I was gonna say is we hope that this episode brightened your day, listeners. Just like Bright Sunday, this was bright something.
Oh, and we didn't get any hecklers this year. Last year there was a heckler.
Yeah,
that was weird. Good
thing we didn't. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
but thanks.
That's why Pastor Jim had to leave town. Anyway, yeah. See you next time, guys.
Thank you for listening. And the cookie crumbles. Places, we all have different names. No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodists to the madness. Methodists to the madness.